next week, I'm going to be talking about, well, the title of this talk is Science Demonstrates the Existence of God. The first bit of the talk is by way of introduction. Partly introduction to me and partly introduction to this subject. We're talking, of course, about creation and evolution, which has been a spiritual battleground for at least 150 years. And I have to say, it's a spiritual battle which, as far as I can see, those of us who believe in God and believe in a creator have been losing. And it may account, at least in part, I think, for the fact that overall the churches in this country and indeed in the Western world have been on the whole declining for 100 years or more. We've been losing the battle in the world around us, and we've been even losing the battle, as it were, within the church itself. I was noticing something in the paper the other day about people whom the younger generation admire and look up to, and one of them was Brian Cox. And they said, teens trust Brian Cox greatly. Well, Brian Cox has obviously got credibility with teenagers because he was a member of a pop band, and now he's a top-class physicist, and but yet he's an avowed atheist. So teens trusting Brian Cox for everything is not necessarily good news. And even in the church, we've been losing the battle, it seems to me. I don't know my glasses just This is quotes from people. There was a survey by the people who do surveys called YouGov recently, which revealed that less than half of people in Britain who identify as Christians believe in the Creator. And since the Bible begins by saying, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the creed begins by saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty creator of heaven and earth. That sounds bad news to me. Now, when I say we're talking about creation and evolution, I mean not just, tonight we're not going to talk about Darwin's theory of evolution at all, we're going to talk about where does the universe come from. But talking about all these things, you can talk about evolution, which is to say, in this context, evolution would mean the idea that things have evolved, everything has evolved, whether it's the universe or life and in all its forms, that everything has evolved of its own accord, according to a combination of chance and natural laws and natural causes. And that there is no need to invoke anything supernatural or anything in the way of a creator. That's what I would mean by evolution, the idea that things have simply evolved of their own accord. Now, talking and thinking about this is not simply an academic exercise, you know, which might interest a few boffins in ivory towers somewhere. It's a thing which has very practical implications. I don't know whether you noticed last week when Sean Doherty was talking, and if you weren't, you missed something really very, very good. And I believe that it's on the website now. So you can tune into that talk on the COGS website and listen to it if you weren't here. But I hope you noticed that the foundation of what Sean was saying about sexuality was the doctrine of creation. In the beginning, God created us male and female, and for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, I do really believe that the whole muddle about sexuality, which the world outside is in at the present time, and which, of course, is now well inside the church as well, comes from the simple fact that we no longer have a robust doctrine of creation. If we've lost that, we've lost the sense that the world is as it is, in this context that we are men and female, men and women, created by God to be like this, and with a purpose in the mind of God of what our sexuality should be and how we should use it. But we've lost that doctrine of creation very largely, and we're in the mud we're in over sexuality, as well as other things, because of that. Now then, I wonder where you're coming from tonight, as it were, in this debate. You might be what is usually called a creationist, which is to say somebody who says, well, it says in the Bible that God created the world and everything is in 6 days, and if science says anything different, well, that's just too bad for science. On the other hand, you could be coming at this as an evolutionist. And you could be saying, well, science has proved that things have evolved just as they are, of their own accord, through purely natural causes. And if the Bible says something different, well, too bad for the Bible. Or, of course, you might be saying, it's all too complicated, I really don't know what to think and can't be bothered. Well, whichever place you're coming from, I do sympathise with you. Because in a sense, I'm coming from all those three places at once, myself. Certainly, I believe that the Bible tells us everything that we need to know for our salvation. It doesn't necessarily tell us the answers to all the sort of pertinent questions that we might ask of God, but it tells us all that we need to know about the world that we live in, about our purpose, the God's purpose for us here in the world, and His plan for us in the future. So we need know nothing more than what the Bible tells us in order to live godly lives. On the other hand, I also believe that we simply got to address the evidence of scientific fact. The things that scientists have researched and discovered, not just in the last 150 years, but over a long period of time, down to the present day, and science is obviously always advancing. And we're not going to be able to talk to the world around us, or even to each other very sensibly, unless we take seriously the evidence of science. So yes, in one sense I'm on the side of the creationist, in one sense I'm on the side of the evolutionist, and I'm certainly on the side of those who think it's all too complicated. Because you don't have to take more than 2 steps into this particular pond before you're out of your depth. Science is, all these sciences that are involved in these debates are very technical and become very quickly so esoteric that ordinary people, probably like you and me, are soon going to find ourselves out of our depth and not able to understand what everybody's talking about. However, let me say at the beginning that there is hope. There is hope. After those 150 years, I think it would be true to say that for the first 100 of those sort of years, say from 1860 to 1960, that the advances of science were pointing fairly steadily towards the idea of an impersonal evolution as the origin of things. But I have to tell you, and you may not know this or realise it, that in the last 50 years, the advances of science have increasingly cast doubt on the main theories of evolution, both of the universe and of life and the species. You don't hear so much about this, but the advances of science in the last 50 years have increasingly cast doubt on those two theories, to the point at which I would now say that what we've been taught in school is now, and what is still being taught in school, is actually untenable. Today, I believe, it's the evolutionists who have not been prepared to face up to the scientific evidence. Now that's a big claim, isn't it? Perhaps you're sitting there, but I'd be surprised if you weren't sitting there, thinking, well, who's he to talk? Who am I to talk? So I'm going to say a little bit about who I am, and then you'll have to decide who I am to talk about this. Well, I was brought up in a Christian family, in a Christian church in London, in which I have to say, I don't ever remember this subject being addressed in any way, either in sermons or in, certainly in Sunday school or in youth group or anywhere else or at home. As a little child, I remember the children's picture books I had, one illustrating the 6 days of creation and another one illustrating Noah's Ark, and in my childhood, that was it. Then I went on to secondary school, like Cameron here is going on next year, and I started to learn much more science. And from the age of 14 onwards, this was a curious one, but from the age of 14 onwards until I was 18 or 19, I studied science exclusively, mainly mathematics, physics, and chemistry. And during those years, I lost what faith I had as a child and a young person. And a large part of that loss of faith was learning what I learned in the science lessons in school about evolution, in that wider sense that I'm using at the moment. So at the time I went to university, I was describing myself as an agnostic. I remember telling the chaplain who interviewed me when I first went up to university, I told him that no, I wasn't a Christian, I was an agnostic. I really didn't know what or who I was, because it seemed to me that I was just a random collection of molecules in a vast impersonal universe. So that was where I was when I went to university. I went on studying maths at university at the beginning. And then, during my second year of university, God came back into my life in quite a dramatic way. I haven't got time to tell you the whole story, but I had a Damascus Road experience, not on the Damascus Road, not indeed on any road, but just in a sitting room in my gigs. I was trying to read some other book or something, and God spoke to me loud and clear. And for somebody at that stage didn't believe in God, this was a bit upsetting. It took me really 2 years to process all that, to digest what had happened to me. I started going back to church, I started praying again, made Christian friends and talked to them about it all and so on. The result of all which was that after a few more years of studying at University of London Theological College, I was ordained at the age of 25 as a priest in the Church of England, which I've been ever since. For the first, 20 years or so of my ministry as a minister in the Church of England, I avoided the question, if I possibly could, of creation and evolution, because I hadn't found any way in which I could bring together what I read in the Bible, what I said I believed in the Creed, and what I learned at school of natural sciences. If I was pressed, I described myself as a Christian evolutionist, and there are plenty of those about. People who both believe in evolution and believe the Christian faith. And I actually put together what I thought at the time was quite a clever way of getting around the difficulties, which was to say that I believed that evolution was the glove which concealed the hand of God creating the world and all that's in it. Well, that didn't really satisfy me, far less perhaps the people who I was preaching and teaching in those years. But then another life-changing thing happened to me in 1987, and I read a book called Evolution, A Theory in Crisis by an Australian microbiologist, organic chemist and microbiologist, who had written this book spelling out in 1987 the difficulties, he's not a Christian, spelling out the difficulties that the theory of evolution, Darwinian evolution, faced. This is it. I'm not sure it's probably there in the same hand, but it's in print, I've no idea. Evolution, A Theory in Crisis. And for the first time, I realised that all the stuff that I'd been taught at school and at university wasn't beyond question. And at that point, I started reading quite voraciously books like this, not just about biology and chemistry, which is mainly what this is about, but about physics as well. And I thank God, and in the providence of, although I don't understand half the details, I have to say, in this book, I'm quickly out of my depth with a lot of it, but I understood the gist of it. And that's thanks to the 3 or 4 years that I spent at school and university studying science. So for the last 30 years, I've gone on reading this stuff, talking to people, going to conferences wherever I could. And 10 years or so ago, I wrote a book myself for, you know, people like me and people who, you know, who were quickly out of their depth with this stuff. And it was published by Kingsway, mainline Christian publisher, 10 years ago. And it was called, Deluded by Darwinism. I never liked the title, but that's what the editor wanted to call it. It's been out of print for several years now, and last year I produced a second edition, and I call it what I wanted to call it, and it's called Is Evolution Bunk? The science they didn't teach you at school, and the science that you don't, you aren't taught by David Attenborough and the other scientists on television, including Brian Cox. So from then on, I've been exploring this subject as much as I could, really, in a sort of continuous way, obviously not full time, but in a continuous way for the last 30 years. And I've continued reading, and as I say, I've written this book, which I hope helps ordinary people to understand the issues. So, the issues. This is just to introduce to you. The crux, this is Green Stanley in two ways. The crux of the issue does the world around us, just about everything in the world around us, does it show evidence of having come about by chance, or does it show evidence of having been designed? And we'll come back to that question and its implications over and over again through these talks and these next meetings. Put it another way, can you explain everything in the world as a result purely of natural causes? Or do you come to a point in science, in studying the world around us, where you have to say, well, there's something behind or beyond the natural world and natural forces? There has to be something supernatural to account for this. Now, those are the two crux, or that's the crux of the matter. Is the world the result of chance alone? Or is it the result of design? Can it be explained in terms of natural causes only, or do we need to invoke some supernatural cause behind it? Now, there are three areas of this whole subject, creation and evolution, which we could look at. One is the universe, and that involves largely the science of physics. There's the question of the origin of life on Earth and all its forms, which is largely a matter of biology and chemistry. And then, of course, there's the subject of the age of the Earth, which if we're looking at the Bible, is a very different story from what we're looking at if we're talking about the scientific view. And we're not going to look at that at all, unless you want to ask a question about it later. But that would really require another whole talk. So I'm not going to tackle the question of the age of the Earth, at least not tonight. And the starting point for this talk and next week's talk is not the Bible, it's scientific evidence, the scientific view of the world. Because if we're going to engage with the world around us, that's where we've got to start. That's where everybody else is starting. And if we want to talk to them about this, that's where we've got to start too. But, as I said a few moments ago, there is hope. Because I do believe